Hello and welcome to this week's Manx Footy Pod, sponsored by Conister Bank. For the 31st episode of the season, myself and Dave look ahead to this weekend's fixtures and recap who has won what over the last couple of weeks. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I missed this place last week.
Well, yeah, we didn't have a podcast last week because you were off on your hollybobs to London, weren't you?
Yeah, I have to say, I think you broke the internet with that Photoshop picture.
Oh, did you
of
see
me.
It?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't been on our Twitter account, it was Dave's head miraculously Photoshopped onto Paddington Bear's body, wasn't it? I quite liked the little chihuahua he was holding.
It reminds me of one of my friend's dogs, actually, yeah.
Fair enough, yeah. But it did look good. Did you have any marmalade sandwiches?
Unfortunately, I didn't. But I also didn't have any biscuits because I was hoping we'd have some when I came back. But
well, it's because we've got no guests. I haven't splashed out. I'm not going to lie, Dave.
Also, when I leave the sports desk, it falls apart, doesn't it?
So. Yeah, it's a good point. It has been a bit, because you only came back on Thursday, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a tight week, shall we say, especially with the bank holiday.
But I think it's more of a holiday for you guys, having a bit of peace and quiet for me. So.
Well, I wouldn't say that in as many words, Dave, but there you go. Well, I suppose it's all coming to a crescendo now, isn't it, football-wise, thankfully.
We're nearly there now,
aren't we?
We
can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
It's been a long old season, hasn't it?
It has been a long old season, but it looks like, I'm just having a quick glance at the league tables there, we're going to get, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything in the next couple of weeks, the next 10 days even, I'd say.
That's it. Fingers crossed we'll get it all done, wrapped up before TT.
Yeah, that would be nice, because we've been on to our other job then.
Yeah.
Three of the senior league titles have already been decided. Of course, Combi 2 titles have been decided a couple of weeks ago now, but they both received their latest silverware, as it were, over the last week or so.
Absolutely, yes. Russian got up picked up their Combi 1 crown last Saturday. Mm. After their game with Colby, they did it in fine style. They won 5-0, so nice way to wrap up the title and start the party.
Yeah,
and obviously in Compi 2, I mean, both Russian and Youthy have been long time leaders, so it's been seemingly inevitable. But yeah, Youthy picked up their title as well. They beat D&D 2-1 in the week, last week, should I say. So they picked up their title as well, so well done to them. I think it was 26 years of hurt, is what?
Yes, as Paul Hatton famously put. And did you see Patty's tweets this week? He was actually drinking from the Combi 1 replica trophy after the game on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
I think he had to retire home at 9 o'clock.
Did he fill it with gin? Because that's his tipple.
No, I believe it was a special Russian concoction.
Oh god.
Russian.
Okay. Is it something that Adam Krajine...
I wouldn't want to guess, to be honest. But yes, he seems to have cleared his lungs.
Is he still alive?
I have spoken to him since he was at the Junior Cup final on Sunday, which we'll talk about in a second. But yes, he said it was a good night in Haven, I think, after that. We talk about the Combi titles. Youthy, of course, as you say, 26 years of hurt. It's their anniversary dinner tonight.
40th anniversary, yes. Tomorrow night, I should say.
Tomorrow.
Saturday, yeah.
Yep.
It's their annual prize presentation and 40th anniversary, so it should be a good do at the Palace. So.
Yeah. Stan Boardman.
I know. What
did you see that? Stan Boardman is coming to do the entertainment.
The entertainment, yeah.
So that'll be certainly interesting in itself. If there's any tickets going spare, I'm sure you may be able to get one at this late stage. But it could be the hottest ticket in town tomorrow.
Well, Agent Rashid might be able to cut you a deal. So.
Yeah, there you go. Right, talking about Junior Cup, I was there on Sunday. Old Boys won that on beating a young St. George's side 2-0 in the final, thanks to goals from Mikey Booth and Robbie Ward. My headline in the Examiner was old boys help side lift cup, because it was the class of, I don't know what year we're going to go for, but it was the first team of yesterday, or even the first team of this season at points.
Yeah.
Robbie Ward, the two Stewart brothers, Mikey Booth,
David Quirk is there as well.
David Quirk.
Tony Harris at goal.
Tony Harris has had a spell and seen the first team six as well this season. It was, I think, in the end, the more streetwise and footballing savvy, I think, as Hattie said to me, I'd won it on the day. St. George's credits, and they've got a really good young side there. I think there was only a couple of the lads, only Barry Harding and Dave Cherry, who are over 20, really. I know you're looking through the team sheet there, but most of them are the talented teens. If they keep them together, they're going to be a great team, really.
I think so, yeah. And Sid Batty flew in for the match as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was pulling the strings in midfield as usual. Carl Henson, actually, the fullback, who was awarded man of the match. I just personally thought maybe Old Boys Tom Weir maybe edged it on the day, but Carl had a great game. He up and down the from left back, so you can't really knock it too much.
Future bodes well for them, doesn't it? And I have to say as well, fair play to Old Boys. I spoke to Liam Buckley in the build up to the game, and he was worried he wasn't going to have a full team for that. He had quite a few injuries, well done to them. And it's also surprisingly, really, it was their first cup for 28 years.
Considering they've dominated. Conby won. They've won the last three. Obviously, Russian have won it this season. But prior to that, it was the Conby one trophy was pretty much in the Blackberry Lane trophy cabinet, wasn't it? So
yeah, well done to both sides there. They've done really well getting to the final. And
just a footnote on that match, we must wish our best wishes to Danny Corran, if he's listening, who suffered a nasty looking leg injury in the opening minute of that match when he clashed with Geordie's goalkeeper Dave Cherry. It was just one of those. They were both going for the same ball, and it was a nasty one. He said it was a 35-minute delay. Where obviously, Danny was treated and then was taken away in an ambulance. And if he's listening, I hope it's healing well and all that.
Best wishes to you, Danny.
She also said Liam Buckley. Obviously, was managing to success on Sunday. 48 hours earlier, he'd been there playing for the Douglas Royals Masters team in the Masters FA Cup final, which Colby won 4-2 to complete a Masters double. And why have they changed it from Veterans Day? Is it because people think Masters is a bit more?
I think they've just heard you calling it a masterful performance so many times. And, you know, it's a good compliment. But you know, obviously, it's well covered in this week's Indy, isn't it?
Yeah, there's another Paul Hatton. He's earned his money this week. He was out and about on Friday covering that one as well. So there's a full match report and pictures in the Indy for that. Of course, the latest and so far the last team to enter the 2017-18 winners and closures was St George's on Tuesday evening. They beat nearest rivals Corinthians 2-1 to clinch an 8th Premier League title in a row. I was up there on Bella Fletcher. It was a solid workmanlike performance from Geordie's, I have to say. Corinthians were a bit under par, but I think that was because St George's defended really well. They were solid and then took their chances when they came to them.
Mm. Yeah, 2-1 in the end, wasn't it? And it was, what a phenomenal achievement. They just keep going. I think I saw a status by Johnny Myers on Facebook the other day, and I think just summed it up. He said, something along the lines of people have been saying for years that it will come to an end, but today was not their day, and they carry on. So
they go forward, set it up nicely for the end of the season. Obviously, we've still got two cups to play for. The Hospital Cup next Saturday, so the 19th of May, against Corinthians. And then we've got the Railway Cup, the semi-finals for that take place on Tuesday night.
Yeah, the draw for that will take place on Manx Radio tonight on their Football Focus at roughly 6:15.
Right.
So, get tuned in. And
Four teams that are qualified. That was only decided on Tuesday, but because Old Boys lost to Laxey. They were still within a slim chance of qualifying, but that obviously knocked them out. That means that it's Russian, Corinthians, St George's and Peel will be in the draw for the semi-finals. Peel play their last first half fixture, which is also their last fixture of the league season. Are you still with me, David?
Just about, yeah.
On Saturday when they play Braddon, and no disrespect to Braddon, but they probably would have been favourites to get the 3 points in that.
Yeah.
However, they will be without, looks like they will be out Lee Gale.
Yeah, he went off with an ankle injury, didn't he, the other night. Scored a couple of goals against St John's, the two decisive goals, should I say. Yeah. Went off late on, so fingers crossed for a speedy recovery, although I did see on Facebook he said that that's his season done.
Right.
So will
that include the World Football Club?
It's not clear yet, so but fingers crossed he can make it.
He's been in great form the last few weeks. I think he's actually now second in the Golden Boot standings. Behind Kieran McNulty, so he would have been had a bit between his teeth and could have actually overhauled Kieran with a good flurry of the
And also not to mention that he's according to your excellent article on the back page of today's Courier, he's second in the seasonal standings for the player ratings.
Yes, there you go.
So
he's come back off his push bike well.
Hasn't he?
But going back to St George's, we're running out of superlative for them, really. As they say, it's been a strange season in many respects because they haven't had it all their own way, but that's been good for us, that's been good for Manx football, I think. Can they then? They could still potentially do the treble.
Yeah.
As could Corinthians, a treble of cups, as it would.
Yeah.
Corinthians, it was very very interesting to see when St. George's was celebrating on Tuesday night. I think one of the guys made them stay out and watch.
Yeah.
And they said, this is our motivation for the two cup finals. So I still think there's plenty to run in this story, this St. George's Corinthians story this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll just be an added twist if they get drawn together in the Rail League Cup.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it was, and that was remarkably the first time St. George's had beaten Corinthians this season.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement in itself again. So, yeah, still all to play for. I know we are right at the tail end of the season now, but there's still lots to look forward to. So,
yep. I spoke to the world's greatest right back ever, Julian Ringham, after the match. I have to say, the interview is probably not my best because I was distracted by his beard.
It's
so. It's just looking at it. It's on point, as the kids would say.
It's fantastic, yeah.
But I've had a chat with him. He was in reflective mood about the season as a whole. It'd been a tough game. And, of course, I mentioned the possible inclusion in Elian Vanian's World Football Cup squad, which we believe has been named in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, we'll hopefully we'll have
down from 30 to 23, I think.
Yes, fingers crossed we'll have more on that in the Examiner.
On Monday. So let's have a listen to what Julian had to say now. Congratulations, Julian. I believe that's the 13th Premier League title in 15 years. One of the harder ones to win, though.
Definitely. I think the way the season's gone, because there's been so many games called off with the Ireland team. For the first 3 or 4 months of the season, we couldn't get any momentum.
Yeah.
And we were forever playing catch-up. And as much as you can have the games in hand, you know, when you've got the points on the board and you're forever chasing, it does, you know, it does make it difficult. And, you know, you can make harder work of it sometimes than it actually is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any slip-ups, and, you know, that was the way Corinthians have been going this season, they've been pretty relentless themselves. Yeah. So, you know, it's a great achievement. You know, one's a great achievement, two's a great achievement, but to do 13 and 15, you know, you can't ask for any more.
No, and to win it at your closest rivals, that make it a bit more special, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. These are the games you want to play in. These are the games you want to win, and these are the games that win you the league. So, I know, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You take it anywhere, but it does add that extra bit of, you know, extra bit of spice when you do win it at one of your main rivals this year, especially.
And of course, it sets up nicely for the potentially two more cup finals to come, isn't it? We've got the Hosy Cup in a couple of weeks against Corinthians. You adds more incentive to get the double and maybe even the treble if we get the Railway Cup eventually played. So.
yeah. I don't know when it's going to be. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the key things of our team took before the game. You know, realistically, we had 3 games to get a point.
Yeah.
And we expected to get that. You know, whether we got it tonight or Saturday or, you know, we thought we'd get that. But more importantly, really, for us at the minute was because we've got them games, we've got the cup final with them, we may play them again in the Railway Cup. It's all about setting a marker. You know, they've beat us a couple of times this year.
Yeah.
So they'll go into this with confidence. And if they'd beat it again, you know, I guess, as I said, we may have won the league, but there's more competition still to go, so it was really important to win.
And like a fine wine, you're getting better with age, Judge, you know, the
I don't know about that.
The football world football cup, must get that right, is coming up. You know, how do you fancy a bit of a tilt at that
if the body allows? Yeah, and the wife allows. You know? But yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, last weekend was the first time I'd played 3 games in 4 days for 2 or 3 years, and it was a bit of a shock to the system. But, you know, you get an opportunity to go with these things, especially at my age. Yeah. You've got to take them.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. We'll get to go and celebrate.
Thank you very much.
Right, welcome back. It's a bit of a shorter than usual Max 40 pod this week, Dave.
Purely down to the lack of biscuits, I have to say.
Yes, biscuits and guests. As I say, you've been away. I've been busy, so we didn't have a chance to corral someone to come in this week. But nevertheless, we'll have a look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Now, we believe St. George's are fresh from claiming their 13th top flight crown in 15 seasons. They were meant to be playing Old Boys in the Premier League on Saturday, but we believe that game's been called off now.
Yes. Now, I think Old Boys were struggling to put out their strongest team, and they have still got a combi fixture going on, but I think the manager didn't want to call up too many youngsters. Obviously, if for instance, they're on the end of receiving end of a heavy defeat to Geordies, it might be detrimental to those younger players. So you can sort of see why they've done that, which is fair enough. I know that Tony Meppen was trying to get the Corinthians game, Corinthians v Geordies, rearranged, but that was a no-go as well. obviously Corinthians have a free week and their players had already arranged several other things. So, yeah. So, that looks like we're just down to two Premier League games.
Well, it has to be said, I don't know whether that will go down, Old Boys George games will go down as a walkover. It might do just because of the time pressures and everything else. But there has been a few this week. A lot of people saying this is an indication of the state where Manx football is in at the moment. Again, the FA are getting a lot of flack on social media. I think the weather is still, this is the remnants, is still playing its part. And unfortunately, when you're trying to get players to play three or four games in a week, three or four games in a week, this is another factor to that, isn't it?
It is, it is. You know, it's also, we have to remember, the time of the year as well, where a lot of the younger players are doing exams and stuff like that, you know, they're doing GCSEs or A-levels or whatever it is, you know. So, you have to say, there are other commitments that have to come into play. So, I think it... Obviously, there is a hot topic of debate at the moment over this, but I think we can't be too critical of the FA. They are trying their best. It's been one of those seasons...
But does it need a bit of a refresh, do we think?
I think it certainly wouldn't do it harm. I think we have to be open to all suggestions with it, really, because you know, there's a lot of discontent within certain ranks, within certain quarters. So I think everyone needs to get together, and I think maybe we talked about it a while ago, this football committee or something like that.
Forum.
That should happen, you know.
Well, to be fair, the FA have tried to run this in the past, and then it's just never come together, has it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. If I knew that, we could probably make a lot of money. But there does seem to be something needs refreshing in Manx football. I say the weather hasn't helped. The 2 week later start of the season, now people are blaming that. But again, we'd only be a little bit further on than we are at the moment.
Yeah, look, in that 2 weeks, you've got the Manx Grand Prix and stuff. And how many fixtures fall by the wayside because of travel problems? So... Yeah, it's easy to look at that, but, you know, it has been, I'd say, an unusually wet, long winter, hasn't it? So, you know, it's one of those that's out of our hands.
So if anyone's got a few spare million quid and we could build a soccer dome with a full-size pitch in, you know, I think you'd go down really well within the Manx football circuit.
I think so. Should we start a Just Given pitch?
Hang on. I've got a couple of quid in my pocket, although it's the old English pounds, so they won't count, will they?
Ah, sod it. Just try it.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get on this. Dome for Dave. It will be the hashtag. right. So there is two games on Saturday, we think, at the moment. Life Premier League. Brann versus Peel. A bit of a dead rubber, if we can call it that, to be honest. Peel, though, I just say that, but actually I've just checked myself. Peel can still finish second, actually, with a win in this one.
Yeah, Russian are second at the moment, aren't they? But they have finished all their games. And now Corinthians and Peel have obviously still got games to play, as well as Geordie's. So, yeah, the top four could be in a completely different order by the end of the season. Peel will be comfortable favourites. But Brann, you know, they're staying up for another year, so well done to them. They've done their job. A bit like Huddersfield.
Yeah.
They've made it happen. So.
Well, Brann, to be fair, I was looking at the first half, second half tables, thanks to Eric Clegg, who provides us with most of the stats. Brann claimed 10 points in the first 12 games, only 4 in the second.
Yeah.
If they don't get anything on Saturday. So I think, you know, they need to have a look at that. Again, they've probably been a victim of... I'm going to use the word momentum, and the fact that the postponements has probably took that away from them.
Yeah, I think so. And also the way the fixture list fell. In their opening five games, I think they played pretty much all the teams around them, didn't they? Yeah. And they managed to get those four wins on the board, or three wins and a draw, sorry. You know, and that set them up well. But yeah, momentum then comes into play, doesn't it? So, you know, I think Will Smith's got a good team there, and they'll be looking to build on this now and take it into next year, and hopefully, if the weather's kinder, they can get a better run going.
Well, I'm just looking at the Premier League table at the top end. Corinthians now, they've got one game remaining against Georgia. They win that, they will take them to 55, and they've got a better goal difference than Russians, that would put them in second. Peel, however, are on 53 at the moment. You have to say, should win against Brann on Saturday, that will give them 56, and they'll finish second. Now, Geordie's, two games left, Old Boys, which we've already mentioned, and this other rearranged game against Corinthians. They win both of them. That'll give them 67 points. And conceivably, the team will have 11-point
It's amazing how much...
advantage. Given how... 11-point winning margin. Given how tight the season's been, that is actually quite remarkable.
Yeah, it's just all of a sudden just opened up at the last minute, hasn't it? But yeah. I think if you speak to people within the Geordies camp, I think there's always been an element of control in the league. I think they've always felt that it was always in their own hands. And look, Geordies are masters at this. They don't panic. They just keep going. Mm. But yeah, 11 points. It's, after everything the Crickets have done, it's still 11 points.
It's still 11 points. And Crickets could conceivably be finished third. I would hope to think they don't think that is a disappointment, you know, because yeah. they've already won the cup and they're still potentially could be in two more cup finals. Well, they are in another one and they could be in for a shout with a third. So it's got to be considered a good season.
Excellent season, yeah.
You have to say perhaps the pivotal game maybe was that Russian game in the lead up to the cup final when they lost 4-1.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, they did bounce back well after that. Yeah, I think... Well, now, I remember we both said this at this point last season, when they finished second, their highest league position to date then, they just needed to build on it. And they've done that. Mm. It's job done, as far as they are. I mean, they probably, at the start of the season, they probably weren't expecting to win the title, but they just wanted to give it a go, and they've done that. So, as long as they can progress again, make another step up next season, then it has been good.
It's a learning curve for them, isn't it? And I think that week will have taught them so much, because they were obviously... I think slightly distracted by having the FA Cup final at that weekend. Yeah. And maybe pardon the pun, that I wasn't on the ball for the Russian game. Geordies have managed that situation for however many years now. So they know how to keep plugging the results out when there's bigger games perhaps coming up in the future, don't they? So
exactly.
If they can learn something from that, it will stand them in good stead for future seasons. There is another game on Saturday. That's St Mary's host Laxey. I presume at the bowl. I haven't actually. At the bowl at the full time, but I'm not sure. I don't know when their booking runs out.
Well, also don't forget the Max Youth game, so I don't know if any of that. Does any of this take place at the bowl?
I'm not sure. There's girls' football in the youth game, so maybe you're right. It could be switched to Laxey unless the girls' youth football. Switched to Groves Road unless the NSC is hosting the girls' football.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Quite sure on that one. So
at least they're only around the corner from each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that one's a strange one. I would you say St Mary's would probably start as favourites, but Laxey picked up some decent results in recent weeks despite struggling to field two teams.
Yeah, that win against Old Boys was obviously a great way to end the season. I know it's been a tricky season for them, but one of the things they've done is they've stuck together, Laxey, through it all, and they've got a really good young set of players there. St Mary's obviously had a bad start to the season, but they've, you know, Alex Harrison's come in, steadied the ship, and he's had a good start to his managerial career, so onwards and upwards for him. This will be close. I think St Mary's are probably just about edge it.
Yeah. Right, there's three games in Division 2 on Saturday. Probably the game of the day is at... we don't know whether this one's been played either, because Moran's pitch is obviously now... there's no cricket on Saturday.
There you go, maybe.
Maybe, but I doubt. I think the cricket pitch will probably be knocked out. So, Moran versus Castletown, the title decided for the second tier.
Yeah, in all likelihood it is. I mean, Castletown are already promoted, so well done to them. They are back in the Premier League. Look forward to another Southern Derby with... Well, obviously, the Colby are still up, but we've got Russian...
No, Colby gone down.
So next season, should be nice to see Russian Castletown. I think this one is going to be close. I know Foxdale have dropped points, which has sort of taken them out of the title race. Although mathematically, can they still do it?
No, they've only got one game left, and they're going to get 54.
Right, so they're
Castletown already on 55. They are really playing for second place at the moment, and even that's looking a bit slim. Moran are coming up on the rails like a champion. They've got, obviously, Saturday's games against Castletown. Then they've got two, what you'd say, possibly easier-looking games. Well, Onken and then Governors Athletic. Onken, nothing really to play for now. They're out of the Gold Cup running after a defeat to Mills in midweek. Moran, a draw... Would actually keep Moran still in the title race. They then need to swing at a goal difference of 10, but you could think they could possibly do that over the two games, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they do face a tricky game against Duncan on Tuesday, but the other one, you know, they would expect to win that very comfortably, I think. So, yeah, it's still this division could go down to goal difference, which would be exciting. So, good luck to both teams. I hope it's a good match. We were sending Hattie down to this game tomorrow, aren't we? So we'll look out for the match report on Tuesday.
Yep, and that'll be, of course, an examiner with the rest of the football roundup. There's two other games on Saturday, Foxdale versus Douglaston District and Michael United versus Paul Rose. Foxtel just need to win and then keep their fingers crossed, basically, because that will take them 54, and then they need, really, for Brown to lose all their other games, or even... Hang on, so 54, they're on... Even if they lost one of their games, that would put Foxtel up.
Yeah, it would. So there's still a bit to play for here. You know, D&D also want to finish on a high. You know, they've had a good season too, so could be close, but Foxtel should win this.
The game, Pulley as well, just be keep ticking over. They conceivably can still clinch second, but it does rely on Foxtel not taking anything away from Douglas and District. They also will probably have one eye on the Paul Henry Gold Cup. They are qualified along with Brown, Foxtel and Castletown for that. I presume that will be played in the next week or so.
We hope so, yeah.
But I'm not 100% sure on that. Pulley, it will be a bit of a disappointment for Paul Guyver and his men that they haven't gone up?
Yes, I think so. I spoke to Guyver after the Woods Cup final, and you know they were looking forward to hopefully challenging for the title and promotion. So yeah, in that respect, it's still been a decent season for them. But knowing him, he's ambitious. He wants them to go up. So yeah, he will see it as quite disappointing if they don't go up. But he will already be looking to next season as well. So
hopefully they can keep that squad together. They seem to have a good youth policy at the moment. The Pulley of, I think I saw a tweet last night, they've just qualified for the semi-finals of the Cal Cup.
Yeah, they beat Oncod 4-1 last night, I believe. Yeah. The Canopers doing the business in front of goal. So good. Yeah, the future bodes well for them. And you know, if they can get some more of those players integrated into the first team over the next 12 months, then yeah, it's really good news for them. So yeah, should be interesting.
It doesn't look. Michael have lost 14-1 and 8-0 in the last week, few days. So yeah, it should be another possible long afternoon at the office for them.
I think so, yeah. But Nick could do the damage, you never know.
Well, he had a turnout for the Combi in the week, so we never know. Combi Corner, coiling up Combi Corner.
Yeah, well, we've obviously touched on all the cups and the league titles, so it's basically just a bit of a roundup from the midweek stuff. There was a handful of games on Wednesday. The two games in Combi 1 involving Braddon v Geordies and All Boys v Peel have just been awarded as home walkovers. Teams unable to field full 11. But the other game did go ahead between Laxey and Corinthians, and it was just nothing short of a 9-goal thriller. Corinthians won 6-3, and it marked a big return for Josh Ridings. He's obviously been globetrotting around the world for the last few months, but he's back with a bang, got a hat-trick. Joined on the score sheet by Jordan Cowan brace and Brad Humphreys got the other. Dave Screech Corlett got a brace for Laxey, so well done to him.
A rare brace, I would say.
Rolling back the years, and joined on the score sheet by none other than John Palmer.
Johnny Palmer, another one rolling back the years.
There you go. Three games went ahead in Combi 2. Malou got the better of D&D 5-3. Dean Kidley turning out for the Combi, got a couple of goals. Joined by Tim Collister, Josh Clark, another first teamer, and Kieran Kreipner. So it's quite a strong team, that. For D&D, Richard Radcliffe got two and Dean Quayle got the other.
He's had a good season for the second string at Nobles Park, hasn't he, Richard Radcliffe?
Certainly has, yeah. And it's been a really good season for both D&D's first and second strings. So, you know, onwards and upwards for them.
I think Malou, if I remember correctly from looking at the Combi 2, they've still got a few games left to play. They could finish as high as third, which would be great for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think they've got four games left now. So, still a lot to play for them. You know, I'm not sure who they've got this weekend, to be honest, but they've got Ayr, they're away at Ayr tomorrow, so they'll be hopeful of another 3 points there.
Yeah, and then they're away to Douglas and District next Wednesday.
Yeah.
At home to Douglas and District next Wednesday. Obviously, they've played each other twice within the space of a week there.
They certainly have. So, looking elsewhere in Combi 2, Foxtel claimed a very narrow win, 1-0 win over Michael United. Callan Wade grabbing the only goal. Then Onken edged past Moran 2-1. Will Coulter and Kieran Brown got the goals for the O's. Matthew Kane got Moran's goal. And Jims were awarded a home win against Paul Rose.
Josh Ridings is, you know, could this be a timely boost for Danny Cowan? Danny McMahon, give him a bit of a selection headache?
Possibly, yeah. I think we know he's a good player. He had a great year last year, didn't he? So maybe an option off the bench, maybe score the winner in the final, who knows. But yeah, I think Danny will be pleased to have him back.
Yeah, great player last season for them. A bit of AOB before we finish. We didn't touch on it earlier, but obviously a bit of sad news. Colby and Ramsey have now, their time in the Premier League is over for now, isn't it? They both got their relegations, have been confirmed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was expected, I think, for a while, but it's still sad news for them. They battled on. You know, Ramsey gave themselves a bit of hope. At one point, we thought they might just pull off the great escape, but in the end, the games ran out for them. You know, they will be back. They're such a good side in the north of the island. So, you know, just as long as they can keep the team together. And look, we'll see what the transfer roundabout in the north of the island goes.
Coughs up the merry-go-round, always seems to cough up a few surprise moves. I just want to say, again, looking at the first half of the season versus second half of the season, Douglas Royal have turned it around massively. They had 2 points after their first 12 games.
Yeah.
They've now got 15. Well done, Chris Feeney and Fitzy up there. The young team. It's such a young team as well. They've done a cracking job, really.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I know when Jim's used to pull off the greatest game, he always used to say it every
and
single
Union
week.
Mills used to be the same.
Yeah. We haven't really mentioned it with Douglas Royal, but fair play to them, because a lot of people, myself included, had written them off halfway through the season. And yeah, as you say, you know, he's pulled the team together. Four wins has put them safe. You know, and well done to them. They're comfortably outside the relegation zone now. So, again, the future looks bright for them if they can keep that team together, which, as we've said many a time, they've got so many of the island's youngsters in the team. So, yeah, well done to them.
So we talked about Elian Vannin squad has been the 30s man squad. It's going to be whittled down to 23, we think, it's imminently, a tweet from me for this morning. So we'll hopefully have news on that next week. There was four uncapped players in that initial 30 man squad, so it'll be interesting to see if any of them survive the cut, as it were.
We know, obviously Lee Gale will not be travelling now, will he?
So. Well, it doesn't look likely. You never write Lee off, though. He's a fit young lad, isn't he? So he might bounce back quicker than first expected. But the other bit of news about the World Football Cup that's coming out this week is that Mark Clattenburg is going to ref a couple of games, isn't he?
Yeah, what a legend. Was he in Dubai last, or was it Qatar or something?
Saudi Arabia, sorry.
He obviously knows that Elian Vannin are coming up in the world and want to get a piece of the action. So
I think he's doing the first game, which I'm pretty sure is Barawa.
Is it? Yeah, right, okay.
And I'm not 100% sure. I've seen a couple of conflicting tweets. One that said he's doing the first game in the final.
Right.
And another one saying he is doing the Elian Vannin's game with Cascadia,
yeah.
But, that's probably still to be confirmed, I know. But, yeah, that'd be a great addition. He's refed a World Cup final, 2010, wasn't it? Holland and Spain, the Battle of Johannesburg, whoever it was.
With no red card for Xabi Alonso, but... What a really good experience for the Max players.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of our Max officials are going to be there. They can, you know, obviously learn from them. So, yeah, good luck to them.
I think I saw a tweet this week. I don't know if you saw it, Dave. There's going to be one of the Östersund manager, Graham Potter. So this is the Swedish side that played Arsenal in the Europa League, didn't they, I think. And I've made a good account of themselves. I think Graham used to play left-back for Stoke, a bit of a job in left-back around the English leagues. Moved to Sweden to take up on his first managerial role. And I think they've gone up through the leagues now, haven't they? And they've obviously qualified for Europe last season. They played Arsenal at the Emirates and such. Yeah. Like. He's going to be there at the tournament. So
fantastic.
Some of the Elian Vannin lads, perhaps a chance to get themselves in the window there. One of the lads who hopefully will probably be in the 23, you'd say, is Conor Doyle. He won his team won the Dubai...
Slug and Goats FC, I believe. Yeah, there's quite a few raucous videos of celebrations on Facebook yesterday. So, yeah, well done to Connor.
I saw him described as Colin Doyle, the other day, which I believe is the former Bradford goalkeeper. Not Bradford.
So maybe we should keep referring to him from now on.
It's Colin. But yeah, Connor, well done to Connor. They look like they have a pretty trick squad out there. So,
I think so, yeah. So well done.
We'd be interested to see if he makes it into the final 23. Right, I think that's about it for this week, Dave. It's been a bit of a bridge version.
It has, so hopefully...
Hopefully have a guest next week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Ahead of the Aussie Cup final, I'm sure we'll be able to drag someone in to give their chapter and verse.
If we haven't offended everyone yet.
Yeah.
Our best.
Remember, you can listen to all the Manx, Connors the Bank Manx Footy Pods at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, as well as on that there iTunes. Until next week.
That's all for now.